This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. It's 7:48 morning this Monday, the 30th of May. Shazana Mokhtar and myself are accompanying you on your drive to office. Right now, let's talk about politics because the PKR election for the 2022-2025 term officially ended yesterday and the official results will be announced next month during the PKR Congress on June the 25th.
However, the unofficial results show that Rafizi Ramli is in the lead for the PKR deputy president role ahead of his rival, Datuk Saifuddin Nasution, with about 10,000 votes. The results also show that Selangor Menteri Besar Datuk Sri Amiruddin Syari has won the Gombak Division Chief post formerly held by Datuk Sri Azmin Ali, who is, of course, now with Bersatu. If we look at some other headlines that have come out, we see that in Ampang, which was previously held by Datuk Sri Zuraida Kamarudin before she left for Bersatu, actor Hans Isaac and rapper Ultimate also lost their bids to become the division chief there. Dayang Muhammad Bacho instead won the Ampang post.
So what do all these unofficial results show in terms of what PKR members want from the leadership of the party? And how will it now move forward, especially with rumours that GE15 might happen this year? For more on this, we have Dr. Oi Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. A very good morning to you, Oi Sun. Rafizi, he looks set to win the deputy president role with 10,000 votes ahead of Saifuddin. How do you think his vision for PKR will work with the party?
Well, I think number one, the party would need maybe not a totally fresh, but certainly a fresher leadership figure in order to give the supporters of the party a little bit more hope after, for example, the string of state electoral defeats in Malacca, in Johor, and also in Sarawak, and the fact that Anwar over the past 2 years having appeared a bit lackluster or a bit bereft of direction for the party in particular, and also the Pakatan Harapan coalition in general. Yeah.
Isan, how do you think Rafizi will work with Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, who remains the leader of the party? Will there be a clash of ideals, or do you think that the two would work well together, given that he was considered Anwar's protege at some point?
Well, that's a $6 million question, right? I think at one point, Anwar was going all out on Rafizi's behalf to the extent that Asmin was not happy about it. And eventually, I think it led to the Sheraton move and so on. But I think the point is, if you were to in any way appear to challenge Anwar's leadership within the party, then Anwar's camp would go all out for you, even though, you know, barely a few years ago you might still be allies on the same side. So how Anwar would indeed heed the view of the grassroots of the party and still remain the leader of the party, I think that remains a big challenge to Anwar. Yeah.
Do you think Rafizi and Anwar can unite the party? And I guess the broader question is, for those who voted for Saifuddin, are they voting against Rafizi or for Saifuddin?
Well, I think number one, those voting for Rafizi, it's more like voting for Anwar, or because Rafizi, in a sense, was strongly endorsed by Anwar. He's a status quo and a very loyal leadership figure within the party, having stayed with Anwar from the Reformasi days. I think if I were Anwar, if I could work well with Rafizi, who obviously is very smart, with a lot of brilliant and yet quite down-to-ground ideas, then the party itself would have some hope of being revived. But if Anwar is still insistent upon, you know, like consolidating his own power base within the party, not letting anybody in any way challenging him and so on, then I think it will be rather difficult for the party. Yeah.
Isan, what other observations stood out to you from the official results of the election so far? Were there any other candidates who won that you thought were particularly striking? What trends maybe caught your eye?
I think among the vice presidential slots, I was made to understand, I think at least two, if not three of them, belong to Rafizi's camp as well. And all states except my home state of Sabah, and I think Perlis voted for Rafizi over Saifuddin. So I think it's a rather sound and overwhelming verdict. Not so much, again, in favor of Rafizi, but in favor of a fresher and hopefully, well, more hopeful image for the party in order to carry forward, especially into the next general election.
But is it really a ringing endorsement? Because turnout was dismal, wasn't it? Only 13% of members voted. So how can we say that it was a ringing endorsement of Rafizi?
Well, because those who came out to vote, obviously, they care about the party, right? PKR and to a lesser extent, UMNO, perhaps the two parties where they would have the larger, shall we say, party member voting base when it comes to leadership change and so on. And in PKR's case, well, in this country, we don't really yet have a sort of primary election type of culture. Therefore, a very low turnout is expected. And PKR's election traditionally would have this kind of turnout about 10 to 15%. But I mean, the fact that those who turn out, they voted for Rafizi overwhelmingly and not for Saifuddin, I think that's a yearning for a new direction here.
And I just want to contrast, I suppose, PKR's strategy ahead of GE15 with UMNO's, because we know that UMNO has postponed their party elections till after GE15, whereas PKR is taking the opposite track. Do you think this will yield better results for PKR in the sense that they've sorted out their leadership, I guess, any issues ahead of GE15? Will this point to a more united campaign in the next general elections?
Well, that's, again, to a large extent, up to Anwar's attitude, right? If Anwar, again, were to hit the party's grassroots choice and really work hard with, together with Rafizi, who, according to even Anwar's own account, is a brilliant strategist, then the party may have a long shot of, I wouldn't say outright winning the election, but winning sufficient numbers of seats such that after the general election, it might be in a position to be part of any new ruling coalition. On the other hand, in UMNO's case, I think it's a question of averting some sort of showdown between the mainstream faction and a prime minister who unfortunately is not at the core of the party's leadership. So if they were to hold a party election right now, this sort of tearing apart of the party's leadership would not be fruitful for their general election effort.
So fingers crossed, Pakanahara, PKR is able to hold some seats, putting it in a position of power to negotiate and build a coalition with Rafizi and this new leadership. How do you expect coalition building to evolve and develop here? Will it still be Pakatan Harapan, or will there be other members and parties involved or excluded?
Well, I think they will still go into the general election as Pakatan Harapan, assuming it's rather ironic, isn't it? As the leading party in Pakatan Harapan, PKR used its own logo, for example, in several state elections recently. So assuming they still want to go into the general election under the same logo, after the general election, as DAP, PKR, and perhaps Amana, having won their respective number of seats, I think there's a distinct possibility that either all of them will become a new ruling coalition with some other parties or individual component parties such as DAP might also form ruling coalition with some other parties, even across the political divide.
You know, just one last question, and we need to get your perspective. I presume Basatu won't be part of the coalition, but as we saw over the weekend with Puan Datuk Seri Raida's departure from Basatu, you know, what does that mean for BN then with this whole shift in Basatu and PBM?
Well, for the ruling coalition, it doesn't make quite a difference because this PBM, I think in a sense, is also part of the ruling coalition. But of course, with Basatu, I think it heralds the possible departure of Asmin Ali as well as his Sheraton Move faction away from Bersatu and to form his own power block, I mean, in PBM, yeah.
That was Dr. O. Yee Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, unpacking for us the results overnight of PKR's unofficial results, in which we see Rafizi Ramli taking the lead and likely to assume the next role as Deputy President. Now, you know, if just a bit of context, Rafizi was instrumental in creating the ground game in which PKR did very well for GE14. The question is, can he translate that success for GE15?
Yes. And another thing that I will be looking out for is how Rafizi Ramli's position as number two of the party, whether that will change PKR's strategy for GE15, like you said. We do know that the timelines of Anwar Ibrahim and Rafizi Ramli in terms of when PH will return to government, they're quite different. I mean, I think Anwar has always been gunning for a PH return to government in the immediate future, whereas Rafizi has stated that this is going to take more time. I'm wondering if we're going to see that conflict play out in the months ahead of GE15.
You're right, because differing expectations will mean different strategies. Are you talking about win for government? Are you talking about containing your seats? Or are you talking about containing your expected losses, right? What is the measure of success which will translate to different electoral strategies you will take in the coming months ahead? Because GE15 is looming.
It is looming indeed. But I guess one could take away that the fact Rafizi won his post by such an overwhelming majority, when you think about it, he took nearly all the states in over Saifuddin Nasution. I think that does show that the grassroots does want some kind of change.
And with that change, he must try to unite not only PKR, but the overall coalition as well to take power back. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.